Galatians, then. Why was that written? It was written by the Apostle Paul. And he wrote it for a specific purpose. There was a kind of conflict that began in the early church, probably one of the first conflicts. And that was because some Jewish people wanted to do things in the church the way they did things. They wanted all the men to be circumcised. And they said, well, if you want to join part of us, you've got to be circumcised. So it became a big issue. It was a problem. And sometimes we still have problems that are from other areas in the church today. So Paul decided to set things right. The first thing he had to do was to establish that he was an apostle. And they weren't for accepting him. So he spent the first two chapters of Galatians doing exactly that, defending his position as an apostle, as a teacher of the word. And so Galatia, in case you don't know where it is was a province of Rome. And these days, it's part of Turkey. So I've never been there. I've not been to so many places, but it's on my to-do list. And Christine's laughing. She knows how long my to-do list is, and I probably haven't got the time to do half of them. So, and the key things of Galatians is one, justification by faith. In other words, how do we justify our beliefs in God? Are they through what we do? Oh, well, I'm good. I come to church every day. I do this. I give things to the poor. Whatever. It's not on what we do. It's on what we believe, on our faith. And that's the key thing. And another theme is freedom, Christian freedom. Well, Paul was kind of warning them, well, yes, you've got Christian freedom. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to do other things. You've got freedom in Christ. But hold on a minute. You can't just do what you want. And that's a problem that the church today falls into. Some of us, we do what we want, and we're not to do that. So he says, so how can we overcome this? How can we overcome our carnal nature? So he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. So we're on a pathway, in a way. Which path are we on? Are we on a pathway to spiritual disaster? And that is to live by the flesh. The Greek word for it, used so many times in Galatians, is sarx, and it means the flesh. So there's warfare going on in us, in every one of us, whether we like it or not. What does the flesh do? Well, it hinders. What does it hinder? It hinders prayer. It hinders Bible study. And we should all be interested in studying the Bible for ourselves. If someone comes here and they preach something that's a little bit off, you'll pick it up if you know what the Bible says. hinders our witness, and it hinders our faithful obedience to God. We sometimes live as if the Christian life is a playground, and we all like being at school to some degree, especially playground time. And I remember the dinner ladies who used to look after us while we were in the playground playing football. And if you weren't careful, you got dragged away by some other boys, say, who wanted a scrap or something, or something else. But we're not like that, or shouldn't be like that. We aren't in a playground, we're in the battleground. And the battle is for our soul. And I spoke a few weeks ago about our soul. And I mentioned that Jesus placed very high importance on it, so much so that we should be careful. We are capable of anything, any one of us. There's so many people we could look at who have been in the news, in the press. Perhaps Peter Sutcliffe is a typical one. We can't say it can never happen to me, because it does. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, "So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall." We have to watch ourselves that we don't fall. We think we're good and we do everything, but sometimes, like that shadow that I told you about, we can suppress it, and all of a sudden it pops up. It's like when you're trying to squeeze a balloon in between your fist, and all of a sudden it pops up between your fingers, doesn't it? Or maybe you haven't done that game. So, I mean, I consider myself an example. For about 10 years I went away from the Lord, wasn't interested. I know, because something that had built up and built up, and then it popped out like that balloon. It was only God's grace and mercy that I came back to God. Romans 7 verse 18 says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." And that's the Apostle Paul writing. A lost sinner, though, faces that possibility of hell. The dead are judged. We will all be judged, whether we like it or not. And it says in the Bible that as Christians, we shouldn't even associate with those brothers or sisters who live immoral lives, who do exactly what we want. In Romans 14 verse 12 it says, "Each of us is accountable to God." So what should we do? Well, 1 Corinthians 11 verse 31 gives us an answer. If we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. It doesn't mean if you slip. It doesn't mean if on the occasion that something happens and you respond in the wrong way. And it means if you carry on living, if you carry on that lifestyle. But if you repent, it will be forgiven by God. And Paul talks in this last few words about the Spirit gives us victory. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Because they're in conflict with one another. So we live one way, we're in the wrong path. And then he goes on to explain what the acts of the flesh are. And that he says they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this won't inherit the kingdom of God. But, he says, there's a but, and thank God for that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. John 15, I'm just going to read to you from verse 1 to 5. And this is an important part that speaks into this passage. And it's Jesus' words. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So there's an answer. We have to abide in Christ. And it's so easy to wander off. There are so many distractions these days. Some of the things you see on the telly, you think, oh, it's time to touch this, put it on. So judge your life by your results. Are you bearing fruit? Are you producing the works of the flesh? Whatever your answer, begin with by being who God wants you to be. Who does God want you to be? And abide in him. Which pathway are we on? I'll come back to that. So the Galatians had to learn to live by the Spirit. Not to be free, but not to do it as we please. And that's a hard one, I find. That it's easy to please ourselves. It's easy to do what we want. and not to take into consideration what God wants us to do, what Jesus wants us to do. Love your neighbour as yourself. We can't be against each other. We have to love each other. That's part of it. Part of living in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen. So, we're going to have a short time of prayer, and then we're going to